Zaf-Kuf-Kuf-Vav. So the Gemara Namadeis brings a Raisa, yes, from later on in Yosefta, Daf-Kuf and Zayin, Amadeis, where the Gemara talks about actually, no, it's not a Braisa. This is just a story that was told by Rabbi Yehuda Marav. We mentioned this earlier, that there were the two, there was an alleyway, and there were two different buildings on the side of the alleyway, and there was Tumas Meis in one of the buildings, and they had to determine whether the Tumah carried over to the other building, and there was a ceiling that overhung it, and the question was, did that roof have a poseach tepach, have a tepach space that would separate between the buildings, or was it not a poseach tepach, in which case the buildings would have been joined through the roof, and the tumas meis of one building would have gone through to the other building. So they measured it basically with a little pitcher, a little makeda that they tied up, and the Gemara there says, Dibrayim Lamanu, from this whole story, they were able to determine that Shapokikin Amodidin Rikoshrin Bashabis, that they're able to basically use a stopper because they use that as a vessel that closed off the opening, the aperture in the roof, Umodidin, and they measured to see whether it was supposed to have tepach because the Makeda had the circumference of a tepach, the Koshrin, and they had tied a little bit of gemi, a little bit of rubber on the top of the on the pitcher, so that it would be able to they would be able to fit it through on the roof. So we see that you're allowed to do all of these things b'Shabbos. So this is a contradiction to the statement that was mentioned earlier, that halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that in order to use a pekak, to use a stopper, it has to be kosher v'toloi already before Shabbos. Here, it was not the stopper that was used. It was something that they just improvised on Shabbos itself. It was not kosher v'toloi beforehand. It had just been lying around, so that seemed to indicate that the halacha was not, in fact, like Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara then says, Amalei Abaye, why are you asking a kasha? It's just like we have, this was just sort of a stam sort of story, right? Here, in this particular case, we also have a stam Mishnah that goes along like Rabbi Eliezer, because we have the case of Nagar HaNigra, right? This seems to indicate that something has to be kosher v'toloi. So why does one story trump this other makor? So the answer is apilu hachi ma'aserav, that we can derive better from the story later on, because the fact that they actually did this, they actually utilized this item to stop up or to put through the roof and to measure to see whether it was supposed to have tepach, that indicates that it's probably that it was the halacha, and that is a contradiction to the notion that the halacha is Rabbi Eliezer, and that demonstrates that the halacha, that a stopper that's going to be put on Shabbos into a doorway or into some other opening has to be kosher v'toloi, so it doesn't have to be kosher v'toloi. So just incidentally, Tosfos over here makes the following comments. Tosfos says, even though this particular vessel that they were utilizing, this mekeda that they were tfiach, they were utilizing in the story later on in the Masechta that we're quoting from, it was not something that was going to permanently be affixed to this opening in the ceiling. Gabi Sadin, as it says with respect to Sadin as well, in Masechta Sukkah, Ikal HaMeimer, the Mebatalei Tfei Misadin, that maybe it's more of a bittul, and this is how we're able to see that Pokikin, that it is, even though something is going to be left for a period of time, it was not going to be a problem of Ohel Arai on Shabbos, of building a binyan on Shabbos, and therefore it's a contradiction to Rabbi Eliezer, who required that it already be part of the binyan through being kosher v'toloi, tied up and basically dangling to the building beforehand, or to the binyan, to the structure beforehand. Lo matzu l'meimer nami pekak mitzvah shayni. So you might say, but that case, it was a mitzvah, because they had to determine that there was no tuma that was traveling from one side of the street to the other side of the street, and therefore we have a general exemption if you're doing something for mitzvah purposes. So Yisrael says, you can't say that. Because after all, we concluded from this story, that we see from the story you're allowed to measure, because they were measuring the circumference of a tepach in order to see whether there was an opening of a tepach, and that was, why was that permitted? Normally you're not allowed to measure on Shabbos. So the Gemara at the very, this is like the last line practically of the Masechet Shabbos, so the Gemara there says, Ema da'amim rabbanim medita de mitzvah, the lab mitzvah mi'omer, that the Chachamim only allowed medita de mitzvah, but if it wouldn't have been a measuring for mitzvah purposes, the measuring would have been prohibited. So why don't we say the same thing with respect to kosher over here, that the kashira, or the, but why don't we say the same thing with respect to pekika over here, that being pokeg, the cholon in this particular case as well was only permitted because of mitzvah purposes, so it doesn't teach us anything. So the Gemara says no. The Sotosa says that you can't say that because medida is different. The hasam lo avi isukol kachal mishum da avdi uvda kuvda dechol. The medida is only a problem because of uvda dechol. That is like something that you would do during weekday for weekday purposes of apakach. But making a stopper in a doorway or in a binyan, the Mishum Tosef is, oh well, there you're adding on, it's Mamish binyan, you're adding on to a tent. The Dharma the binyan, and that's similar to building, like in the Mishum Mishum Mitzvah, so that would not have been permitted because of mitzvah. Mitzvah is only a special exemption, mitzvah is only a special dispensation in the event that something is not really so usted to begin with. Oh, all right, so that's an Isser binyan, so then mitzvah would not have been a special dispensation. That's why we learn from this story that we see that pokekin, even if it's not kosher vitali. But with respect to medida, so with medida we can't make that distinction, says Tosas. With medida, medida is only permissible because of the fact that in that story it was being done, the measuring was being done for mitzvah purposes, but if the medida would not be done for mitzvah purposes, it would not be permissible. However, for mitzvah purposes, we do allow it because the entire isser involved is a low-level isser of uvdin dechol. So that's what Tosu says. So Tosu says that the isser medida b'shabbos, the isser measuring on Shabbos, is a prohibition of uvdin dechol, low-level isser. What does that mean, uvdin dechol? What's the nature of the prohibition of measuring based upon uvdin dechol? So if you take a look at the Mishnah in Beitza, on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, so Mishnah in Beitza talks about measuring things for purposes of taking food from somebody in a way in which it should not come out that you are transacting business on Shabbos. Now, we know you're not supposed to transact business on Shabbos. Why not? What's the fear? What's the nature of the Isser? Gezeira Shema?
You might write.
It's machlokas for sure.
Right? Okay. Or it might be just another possibility. But there's fundamentally, we assume that there's some sort of an issue of Mekach or Memker. That's what many of the Rishonim say. And the Mishnah over there talks about Omer Adam Lachaveira Mali Kli Li Kli Zed could fill up a vessel of a lobe midah, but you can't measure it. Rabbi Yudah Omer Mahi Kli Shal Midah Lo Yimaledah. If it's a measuring vessel, then you should not fill it up on Yontif. The Gemara there is talking about. So the Gemara then said, the Mishnah is talking about. The Gemara says, Mai Ava Lobe Midah. What does it mean you can't measure? So Rabbi Yudah Mashmul Ava Lobe Kli Amiyucha Le Midah. It can't be a Kli that is especially designated for measuring purposes. So says Rashi, why not? Amiyucha Le Midah. So Rashi says, Shemodei Umocher Bo. Why? Because when you're measuring with a kli that is particularly designated for measuring purposes, so that's not permissible. Why? Because that's something Umocher Bo, that you use for mechira purposes. So Rashi seems to understand that the problem of medida, at least in the context of that Mishnah, is a problem that you're going to use it for measuring purposes. The Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Perek Chav Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, so the Rambam similarly seems to bunch together the problem of medida, measuring on Shabbos, with the other issues, basically, or other isurim of Mekach or Memker. So Rashi, so Satosis, excuse me, one second. I have to find exactly where I thought this Rambam was. Where did I say Perikov Gimel? So Perikov Gimel, excuse me, not Chav Gimel, but Perikov Gimel, Yud Gimel. So in Perikov Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam writes, Kosei Me'avos Malachos. The Ksiva is one of the Avos Malachos. You can't be Kosei on Shabbos. And then the Rambam writes, Also Labos Lahavos, you're not allowed to engage in borrowing transactions and lending transactions. Xeris Shem Yipto, Vachin Also Liknos, Limkov, Liskol, Askir. That you can't do all these Mekach or Memker activities. Why? Gezeira Shema Yechtov, and you can't hire workers, says the Rambam, etc., etc. And then in Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam continues. Echad Amoseh Repeh, Ove Mesira, Echad Amocheh Repeh, Ove Mesira Aser, whether you're selling through just verbal transaction or whether you're actually handing over the object, both are prohibited. Then the Rambam says, "Beinu maznayim bein shlomo maznayim." Whether you have a measuring scale or whether you don't have a measuring scale, ukashem she'asav lishko. And just like you cannot weigh what you are selling with a scale, kach asav limnos v'limdot, so too you're not allowed to count and you're not allowed to measure. Bein b'kli mida, bein b'yad, bein b'chevel. Whether you're dealing with a measuring tool, or whether you're measuring with your hand, or whether you're measuring with a rope, you're not allowed to measure. So the Rambam, in codifying the prohibition of measuring in Hilchos Shabbos, Kav Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, seems to codify it as being in the category of the Yisurei Mekach U'Mekar. So too in Hilchos Yontiv, the Rambam in Hilchos Yontiv, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Tes, when the Rambam is talking about Medida with respect to Yontiv, so the Rambam says, Dvarim Rabim Asu B'Yontov, there are many different items that were prohibited on Yontiv, Mishim Gezeras Mekach U'Mekar, because of the Gezera of engaging in commerce. And the Rambam rattles off a number of different examples, and the Rambam adds to the different examples that so too you cannot utilize any kind of measuring tool, measuring device. The Rambam says that kishem machalkin lo yishklu b'moznayim, if you're splitting up different portions, you shouldn't do it with any a measuring scale. She'ein mashkichin mekaf moznayim kol ikar, that you're not allowed to use a kaf moznayim, and it gives additional examples along those lines. In Chavalef, the Rambam says, lo yomar adam letevach ten li bedina basel ten li chelak v'chatzi chelak v'mapos in cheshbon al shivyo. You can't take any items from a storekeeper with a measurement or with a weight. Rather, you just say, as the Mishnah says, "Mali li klizeh, fill up this kli in the makonos and they'll shiv you." And then the next day, you'll give the exact amount based on the amount that was in the kli. And the Rambam paskins that if it was a kli amyukah on the mida, you're allowed to fill it up as long as you don't mention what the mida is and you're not doing it for purposes of the mida. But what do we see from all of this? What we see from all of this is that, at least according to the Rambam, the Isser of Medida seems to be also premised upon the association with Mekach U'Mepker, and it's so mashma that way in Rashi, in Beitza as well. So if you look in the Igros Moshe, in Orachayim Simen Kochavches, the Igros Moshe deals with the following question. Are you allowed to utilize a thermometer on a Shabbos to take somebody's temperature? So is that, presumably we're not talking about a digital thermometer that would obviously implicate other issues of ksiva potentially, but we're dealing with a mercury thermometer. A mercury thermometer where you're not creating any writing to take place, you're just basically causing a measurement to take place. So the way that Rav Moshe records this basic inyan is that we have a dispute between Rashi and, on the one hand, between the Rambam on the one hand, and Rashi, that we just quoted, that seem to associate the Yisr with Mekach U'Mepker, that it's an Yisr because of a Sarach Mekach U'Mepker. And then Tosus on the other hand, who says that basically the problem is Uvda Decho. So the Rosh Ramosha writes that it's clear to him, I'd like to develop this a little bit, U'Pasha Dechayra Shekavanasam, it's Pasha that the Kavan of Tosus, Amedidu Zu Shetzoche Abayis, that the medida that we're talking about, according to Tosus, when Tosus says that the problem is udin dechol, is that it's a medida of tzorchei abayis. It's a medida that a person just does for the domestic household affairs. It's only this type of medida that was permitted for tzorach mitzvah purposes, according to Tosus. In other words, what is Tosus talking about? Tosus is talking about a medida where you are basically engaged in measuring to determine that there was no tumah that went from one place to another. It's not at all in the domain whatsoever of Mekach U'Mepker or any kind of business transaction. It's something which is only related to the person's domestic life. So in that context, the Tosus is saying that the only that if you have a medita the mitzvah, it's for mitzvah purposes, so that's going to be perfectly acceptable. So Rav Moshe concludes based on that that since we're not dealing with a real type of that since according to Tosos it's only an uvdin dechol when I'm dealing with a domestic type of measurement. So therefore, Rav Moshe says that the medida sachom ayedei thermometer she'eno inyan klal medida hasur has no relationship to the medida that was asur. Afu chumra bi'alma, it's just a chumra bi'alma. That's how he's interpreting this. She'esh mal la'akmir rotzal akel and limchos bo. And somebody wants to be mekel, there's no reason to be mocha, and somebody wants to be mekel. So a lot of the later poskim, or more contemporary poskim, I guess, trying to analyze Rav Moshe, try to figure out why is it that Rav Moshe basically took the line in Tosus that said that it's uvdin nechol, therefore b'tzorach mitzvah it's mutter, and said, well, we see that if it's something that has nothing to do with mekach u'mekach, it should be heter gomer, and it's just a chumra bi'alma, and if somebody wants to be mekel, they can be mekel. So they struggle a little bit over that particular line of Rav Moshe. But there's a separate reason, we'll get back to that in a second, but there's a separate reason why one could be mekel with respect to the thermometer. If somebody's using the thermometer, just stamazoi, because they think it'll be fun to see what their temperature is, but they're feeling perfectly fine. So in fact, it's generally assumed that really does fall within the purview of the prohibition. But if the person is a chole, so then just like for the makom mitzvah, we wouldn't be goes there. So Moshe argues that clearly this, just like we're mekel in the medida shel mitzvah, we clearly could be mekel as well with respect to a tzorech chole situation, especially since there's no chash of a real iser. If there was a chash of a real iser, then we wouldn't have been mekel b'makom mitzvah. Right? If I have a regular iser derabanan, a regular iser derabanan, I'm not mekel to allow b'makom mitzvah. I'm only mekel to allow something that's shvus dishvus b'makom mitzvah. Mi v'la'akom on an iser derabanan, I allow b'makom mitzvah. But I don't allow for an iser derabanan to be committed l'tzorech chole. Or the mitzvah, and so to here as well, the fact that we allow it b'makom mitzvah shows it's not a real issa mamish. It's not a real issa mamish. So certainly one could be mekel l'tzorach chole to take somebody's temperature, and that's how it's generally assumed that that's the equivalent of a tzorach of a makom mitzvah if you're taking somebody's temperature. So what about this question though of saying that when I don't have a mekach u'mekach situation? So then the whole list of Medida doesn't really get off the ground. Is that really true? Yes?
Yeah, when you talk about Perchol, it means like even a Mechush Ba'alma, or it means a Kol Shebo Sakana? Kol
Shebo Sakana. The way his formulation is Apaleka Sakana, even if I'm dealing with a Kol Shebo Sakana, which means somebody who's really genuinely feeling very lousy, somebody who's bedridden, not able to function normally, our general definition of a Kol Shebo Sakana, and therefore we take their temperature. A little child, sometimes we say that a child is always considered to be together, so there's room to be mekel, to take somebody's temperature under those circumstances. But most of the other posts, including the Minchas Yitzchak, hold that if I don't have a dire need, then he wouldn't say this heter gomer to use a thermometer. So is this really true that there is kind of like this machlokis over here that if I'm outside of the domain of mekach u'memker, so then the whole thing so kind of becomes a much more diminished prohibition? That's a question. Even the Rambam, who, as I mentioned, classifies the Medida as a prohibition along based on Mekach u'Mekker in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Gimel and Hilchos Yontif Perek Dalet, mentions in one other place as well, the Issur Medida, and that is in the context of when the Rambam says that it is permissible to engage in Medida Shel Mitzvah. And that is in Perachov Dalet. And in Perachov Dalet, the Rambam is not talking about Mekach u'Mekker matters, for the most part. The Rambam in Perachov Dalet is talking about just how you have to behave differently on Shabbos and the way that you behave at the rest of the week. You're supposed to walk differently, you're supposed to talk differently, you're supposed to run differently. So the halacha in which he mentions Medida Shel Mitzvah begins with running. Halacha, hey, mutar l'rutz b'Shabbos d'var mitzvah. You're allowed to run on Shabbos for d'var mitzvah. Kigon, we mentioned that last week, right? Kigon shi'os, l'beis ha'knesses, l'beis ha'medrash, mechashen cheshbono shel mitzvah, and you can also calculate cheshbono shel mitzvah, u'modedin medida shel mitzvah. And you can also measure a medida shel mitzvah. What's a medida shel mitzvah other than the wacky case of measuring the posech tefach? It would be measuring a mikvah to make sure that there are 40 sa'ah in the mikvah. You can do that on Shabbos. It would be like measuring your Kiddush cup to make sure that there's a rabbis in your Kiddush cup. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. It's about measuring your matzah, your maror, in order to, you take out the Kizayas book or whatever, and you want to make sure that your maror or matzah match the requisite measurements, so that you're allowed to do it Shabbos and Yontif, right? You go mikvah leitayim yesh bo kishiro, begi leitayim mekabel tuma, and then he goes on to say, that meshatkin is al tinokas liyareis, al tinok l'am do sefer, And what do you do if you're mevakir a chole on Shabbos? How do you have a different type of speech than you would have the rest of the week? He's bunching it all together with various items, which arguably could be called uvdin tachol, which obviously could be which could be considered weekday types of activities that we would allow on Shabbos if it's a makom mitzvah. So even within the Rambam, I'd like to suggest that there are really two different types of medidos. It's not necessarily a machlokis, whether the reason is based on Mecca Komemko, whether the reason is based on some other lower level Uvdin Dekol that's mentioned by Tosfos, but it could be that there are really two separate types of medida prohibitions on Shabbos. There's one type of situation in which you're really engaged in a quasi-commerce. You're getting food from a storekeeper, and you have to do it in such a way in which you don't mention medida so that it falls short of actual mekakom emka and a concern of shema yechtov. And maybe that type of situation, there's a higher level of concern, and we wouldn't even allow that for makom mitzvah. And then there's sort of a lower level medida that is prohibited on Shabbos. It's prohibited not because it has anything whatsoever to do with mekakom emka. No, it's still prohibited because of the fact that it's a different type of uvdin dechol, because it is a it resembles too much a weekday activity, and it is something which is unnecessary for you to do on Shabbos. So if I then create a necessity to do it on Shabbos, so then it would be permissible, such as, for example, a makom mitzvah or a makom choli, so then it suddenly would become permissible to engage in this at a lower level because I no longer have the reason for the prohibition, which is an unnecessary tirchah on Shabbos that is not Shabbos-tik per se, and it's not absolutely necessary to be performed on Shabbos. So, for example, one would not be allowed to just measure their height on Shabbos. When somebody's kind of like for fun, wants to see how much, you know, how tall they are, or they want to weigh themselves on a scale. So you're not allowed to weigh yourself on a scale for fun on Shabbos. That would come into the secondary prohibition. But if I do, in fact, have the secondary prohibition, so that's an afkamina in terms of saying that it's not just a chumah b'yam, it's a real prohibition. The nature of this prohibition is such that it's based on an unnecessary tircha, which is kind of like your normal basis for uvdin dechol. Not that I'm worried you're going to commit a malacha, it's just based on an unnecessary tircha. So whenever I have a compelling reason, it's going to become permitted. So one case, for example, where this comes up, where it clearly has nothing to do with Mecca Komemker, I have two kids who are sitting around and they're playing a game. They're playing a board game, and they're playing, and in order to play the board game, sometimes they have to answer questions, or they have to finish something within a certain period of time, and the board game comes with a little hourglass. And you want to turn over the hourglass in order to be able to time kind of how long you have in order to play the game. So is that something that would be permitted on Shabbos or not?
Well,
yes. Speculation. So in the Third Nine Malachos book, by Rabbi Ribiat, did I pronounce it correctly this time? So he thinks that it's not permitted on Shabbos. He brings a raya from a Mishnah Brura in Simen Shin Ches. I think Sifkat and Kuf is Samet the Zion. So in Simen Shin Ches is a halacha that's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch in the name of the Chorbo. It's towards the very end. Simen Shin Ches quotes a halacha in the name of the Chorbo. It says, Masha Mora al Shosh, Shikorin Organza, something there which helps you keep track of time. Ben Shishachor, Ben Shishachor, Minachir, whether it's made up of sand or something else, and it's kind of like, I guess you turn it over like an hourglass, and as the and this way you can keep track of how much time has transpired. They actually stop it in Mutter the Taltalo. So he just says that he's not clear whether you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, because this might be in the category of whatever, klisha laktel issa. The Brahma says, kvar pashan min adesu. The Brahma says, we're machmer on this. The Mishnah Berurah says, in Kuf Samak Zayin, says, the dam in the medita says, mana watzeh, that it's very much similar to measuring time or shadows. V'havi v'chla klisha laktel issa, and that's the reason why we would prohibit it. The medita v'shabbos asr, she'en hasham mitzvah, because medita on Shabbos is prohibited when it is not for mitzvah purposes. Even if he wants to turn around to learn with, I guess he considers that not a sufficient mitzvah purpose. The main medida you're doing is not for mitzvah purposes. It's not enabling you to learn. You're timing yourself. That's not considered to be integral to your ability to learn. However, he says you can move it. Kishisarka legufo makamo. That's a specific din of muksa. But in terms of using it for its regular purpose, he says its regular purpose is in fact an iser purpose. So based on this, does this have anything whatsoever to do with mekka kumekka? Mishtama not. But nonetheless, we say that it's also. But it would be so that if somebody would be engaged in this type of a game, it would be a problem of uvdin dechol based on the notion that you're engaged in sort of an unnecessary tircha on Shabbos. You don't need to engage in this medida for a Shabbos, or for mitzvah purposes per se. This one wants to argue for little kids. This is like an important part of their owning Shabbos. I don't know, he didn't make that argument, but that's what you were about to say.
Even adults.
Right, okay. I don't know, that's probably more of a stretch. But certainly, if this was something that would be for mitzvah purposes, if we would be able to construe a situation, we can argue about how we define the parameters, and then that would be something that, at least for mitzvah purposes, would be permissible. But what about the following situation? If I have a woman who is... yes, you have a question.
Why is it any different than a watch?
Why is it any different from a watch? So we don't wind the watch in Shabbos. The watch is wound up before Shabbos. Here, you're doing the medida, the ma'ase medida you're doing on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with having a clock. You can have a clock on Shabbos. You can be wearing a watch on Shabbos. It's fine. The problem is doing the ma'ase medida. That's the problem. Some say that if you're going to time something and you're going to look at your watch and you're going to time something, okay, we're going to do something in the next 2 minutes. We're going to see how many questions you're able to answer in the next 2 minutes. Some say you're not allowed to do that, but that's considered to be medida. But the Shmuel Shabbos Kilkas brings that maybe it's okay if you're not involved in sort of a, you're not using a measuring instrument to do something. You're just like looking at a room and you want to measure the length of the room and you count the tiles. And based on counting the tiles, you'll be able to figure out the length of the room. So he says he thinks that's permissible, and that's brought down the halacha in some of the svarim. But in the last volume, you know, that footnote volume of Shmuel Shabbos Kilkas, they kind of like changed the rules a little bit, where, you know, things that were mutter now become usa, things that were usa now become mutter. So you got to have the last volume. Very important to have the last volume. So that thin little last volume, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who was quoted in the regular volume as saying that he thought this was permissible, and the last volume says, no, you know, not 100% sure. Maybe that's also a problem.
Is there anything about if you time yourself but you don't do a perfect job, if like when it's getting towards the minute you look away and then just say...
That's very good. So for example, let's say that you want to like prepare food or something and you want to, you know, use a measuring, you want to use a measuring device, a measuring cup. So you can use a measuring cup as long as you're not precise in the measurements. That's okay. The only problem is like if you really care about the measurements and you really want to be precise about the measure. If you're not going to be precise, it's okay. Now, if you're doing it for refuah purposes, because you have to give your child is sick, and you have to give 2 teaspoons of this cough medicine or 1 teaspoon of this particular antibiotic medicine, so then since it's for refuah purposes, you're allowed to be exact. But if it's not for refuah purposes, not for mitzvah purposes, so then, in fact, even though you're allowed to use the utensil, you're not allowed to be exact. So if you're not exact, then it's okay. You can use approximations. That's all right, because that's not an actual medida.
It's a little strange to think that even just the idea of measuring time is what they were referring to when they're talking about medida. Like, it's very different.
Well, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say it. Now, what is it based upon? It's based upon a kolbo.
Right.
So
that kolbo also with the sun that he mentioned, the sundial, right? Those with the shadows and with the that does sound like a watch because you're not actually doing anything to make the sundial work. It just seems like the kolbo was talking about just using the sundial.
Then I guess that you could draw the following distinction, okay? Which is, as I said, you are doing the measurement if you're looking at it and you're timing something based on it. Like, you're timing how long is it taking me to walk from one place to another place. So that, in fact, could be problematic.
Maybe he's saying even just looking at the sundial.
He's not talking about looking at it. That's definitely not. Because looking at it is not a medida. Medida means that I'm measuring something from beginning to end. That's a medida is I'm measuring an amount. So if I'm just looking at what time it is, I think that the kuliyama, that wouldn't be considered to be a medida.
So looking at a thermometer outside, that's fine as well, you're saying?
If you have a thermometer outside, so they generally say that you could leave it there. You could leave it there on Shabbos.
And
you can look at it on Shabbos.
Earlier, I think last semester, you had brought up winding watches, and you said about winding watches that are already wound, like you do the extra little winding, because you wound it before Shabbat, but then on Shabbat you start winding it, it's still going, so you said that there's an issue, but it might be okay.
It's my focus, some say it's okay, and some say it's not okay, yeah.
It's just that simple.
Right, yeah. But you're saying that maybe one of the arguments to say that it's not okay would be based on, I mean, so we generally machmir, but one of the reasons to be machmir, you're saying, say you're engaged in a new medida. I don't know, you're winding up a medida instrument, you're saying.
Yeah, but the instrument can be used for mitzvah as well.
The reason to be made, I guess you could argue, for whatever other reasons, you could argue that it's not medida per se, because you're not measuring anything, you're just causing it to function. Causing it to function, and you're not going to use it to measure anything. You're just going to use it to look at.
You
know,
you can see that for the second. You see that for the first one. I'm talking about for winding it. I mean, you said winding it on Shabbat when it stopped is totally usher. You said
right.
But winding
it's like a Markham Patich kind of thing.
So then, what's the? Oh, so there's a difference between winding it as it keeps going.
Right. Because it's already functioning. You already have a function. Yeah. So, but we're generally Markham on that. Yeah.
I mean, people generally when they want to measure 6 hours. Waiting for Shashidus. They usually will look at their watch.
Well, they'll see what time it is.
They'll see what time it is.
I don't think that's the same thing as measuring in a sense of that. I mean, it's actually a good point. You're saying, why is that different from the hourglass? You say, well, the hourglass is different because I am engaged in an actual medita. You know, I happen to have a clock that's there all of the time. By the way, this is for mitzvah purposes. So therefore, the simple answer to your question is that it's for mitzvah purposes, because just like you don't want to be over in the Isser, in the case of the end of Masechta Shabbos, of the Kohen being in the building that he's not supposed to be in, here as well, you don't want to be over in the Isser of Basar of eating, Basar of Chalav within 6 hours of each other. So I think that's the simple answer. Now, what's interesting about the case, about the Gemara in Beitza, says, I have a Nachum, I have a baker, who needs to determine exactly the right amount of tavlin to put into food, so that the food won't get spoiled, so then he's allowed to figure out the exact amount of tavlin. This is codified in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Kav Dalid, Halakha L'maisa, not only with respect to the Nachtam, we assume it applies to anybody, any Baal Busla, she's preparing a meal, and she wants to make sure she doesn't ruin the food, so she is allowed to actually measure the precise amount of the tavlin in a measuring cup, in a measuring utensil, for purposes of making sure that she has just the right amount of tavlin to put into the dish. So most of the halacha, the ma'aseh sfarim, assume that this is a special dispensation on yantiv, all kinds of things are permissible because of ochel nefesh, so therefore we permit this in order to make sure that the food not go bad. But we're not necessarily talking about somebody engaged in cooking or somebody engaged in the type of malacha that was specifically permitted based on ochel nefesh. We're talking about just permitting medida that could be a completely cooked food or a completely uncooked food, and you just want to put in the right amount of tavlin. So, but for the same reason why one could argue that this would be permissible for yontif purposes, one could presumably make the argument that it's permissible for Shabbos purposes. As we said, what is the problem of the lower level, what I'm calling the lower level? Medida prohibition that's not related to Mecha Chomefkir, it's just a regular Uvdin Dechol type of thing. What's the problem with Uvdin Dechol as a general principle? The problem with Uvdin Dechol as a general principle is that you're engaged in unnecessary tircha that doesn't have a compelling Shabbos purpose. So if it has a compelling Shabbos purpose based on mitzvah, based on kola, so then it can become permissible. So if the food is going to be lousy and rotten, if and not for the fact that you precisely measure the spices, so by the same token, one could perhaps be makel on Shabbos just as much as they're makel on Yom Tov. I mean, let's look at the reasoning that the Mishnah Berurah brings in Siman Tov Kuf Dalet as to why it is that this should be permissible on Yom Tov altogether. So the Mishnah Berurah in Tov Kuf Dalet says, Shulchan Aruch says, Mutar adam limdo tavlin tev gedera v'sho shaliyak tiyak tavshilo. The person is allowed, extends it beyond the Nachlam and beyond the Balabasta to just your regular plain Joe, is allowed to be modi tavlin to put in a pot, a dish on yantar v'sho shaliyak tiyak tavshilo v'sho shaliyak safenam yikav kalenim v'akwas v'boi tavlin, so it shouldn't be burned and it shouldn't be ruined v'akwas v'boi tavlin. If it's only burned, so maybe you could say it's in the ballpark of Bishol, but otherwise, you know, the simple understanding is that it's lav davka, that it has to be a situation where it is burned. And there are, one can concoct situations on Shabbos, but one can put it in a tavlin in klisheni situations, malach, and so forth. But anyway, so now the Mishnah Berurah explaining why it is that this should be permissible, and Sif Kaptan Yuchav Beis says, the Shiyafsik Shitin Tavlin Yotze Midai, it's going to be ruined if you put in too much tavlin. But he says that if during a weekday you normally would not measure Ela Be'omer Adas, but you would just do it based on estimation, then you would not be allowed to do this even on Yom Tov. What does that mean? And here, too, we're working within, really, the same parameters as what the issue would be on Shabbos. Namely, is this an unnecessary tircha or a necessary tircha? So here, we're going to be davka, look at what you do during the weekdays. If during the weekdays, in order to make the food taste good, this is something that you would necessarily have to do. So we say, so it's necessary for you to do a yantiv in order for the food to taste good. It's true, you're only allowed to cook for open average purposes on yantiv, but even on Shabbos, you're allowed to eat. And presumably, we want the food in whatever permissible fashion you're going to prepare it on Shabbos to taste good as well. So, in a very unnoticed and conspicuous footnote, in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he just kind of like mentions in passing, oh, by the way, based on the reasoning that's brought for this to be permitted, on Yantiv, it seems it's probably permitted on Shabbos too. So, despite the fact that most of the books that you'll look at will say, oh, this is a special dispensation for Yantiv, so at least the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa thinks that this dispensation would apply on Shabbos as well. There's no reason to differentiate between Yantiv and Shabbos. I mean, the main reason to differentiate is that this heter appears in Maseches Beitza in connection with Yantiv, as opposed to in connection with Shabbos, but nonetheless, there is possible grounds, perhaps, to be made with respect to this issue as well. Okay, any questions?
Just one question.
Yes.
One of the sheet of Tosfos that he said it was over the whole. Well, Tosfos, you were saying that the Rambam holds for two reasons, right? Shema Yechtov, and then there's a second reason.
I think so, because I think that's the pashtus of the Gemara and Beitza, the mission of the Gemara and Beitza, and Dab Chotes. I think the pashtus is that we have a general concern when it comes to certain types of medita that is done with a mech apamekar. I think so.
So there's no difference between the two.
Well, I'm trying to neutralize the machlokis over here and demonstrate how it could be that it's just straight in nuances of a medida. Yes.
What type of medida is the type that falls in the second category? Is it a type that's not derech mekach memkar? If it's not actually involved, actually for a sale, or does it have to be like
the use of a thermometer? You would never use a thermometer for purposes of mekach memkar. I don't even know that you use an hourglass for purposes of mekach memkar. So things of that variety, I would say.
So are done by yomtiv where you're measuring tavlin in a way that would then that might be similar to a derech mekach memkar.
Well, that's a good question. So with respect to the din of yomtiv, I think that there the distinction that would be drawn, at least in terms of the formulation of Rav Moshe, is the tzarchei bayis. That if it's very clearly in the context of the person in their kitchen who's preparing the meal, so that kind of automatically removes it from the domain. So maybe one could argue, I could have the same maise, that if it was done in the store, has one characterization. If it's done in the kitchen, has a different characterization.
So you say we look at the purpose, the underlying purpose of the medida and categorize.
I think you could make that argument.
Okay.
Kind of trying to formulate this. Okay, so just very quickly, in terms of the very beginning of a perek mefanin, so this whole idea of clearing away your storehouse in order to be able to make provisions for the orkim who are going to come. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and this is based on the Gemara, that this is essentially permissible according to the way we paskin. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon in the Hilchos Muktzah, that just because something was stored away in a storehouse does not make it muktzah. So I have kupos shel tevin in a storehouse, they're not really muktzah. The only real problem here is a problem, and Rashi says this, of tircha de Shabbos. We're worried about unnecessary tircha. This is again in that general category of uvdin dechol / tircha that we wouldn't permit on Shabbos. So here too, we see the same consideration. Since it's basically this low level, just uvdin dechol, we don't want people to engage in unnecessary tircha on Shabbos. So of course, when do we permit it? We permit it for mitzvah purposes. We permit it, that there should be a place for people to sit so they can learn Torah, and we would permit it in order to make a makom, to make a space for orchim. The modern-day application of this is if I have some chairs that were stored away somewhere, and now I have some guests that came over for Shabbos, so am I allowed to carry those chairs to the dining room where it will be convenient for everybody to sit on them and eat, am I not allowed to? So here as well, if we argue that that's a case which is akin to the Otzer case, so then you're not supposed to take from the storehouse more than a certain measure. Here the measure is Abba v'chamesh kupos, so then the measure would be presumably a certain number of chairs, unless it's for a mitzvah purpose. But it happens that the Aruch HaShulchan draws a distinction between different types of tircha. The Aruch HaShulchan in Simen Shin Lamed Gimel, when he's talking about kind of the practical modern-day applications of this, just says that Atu tircha asur b'Shabbos. Do you think that tircha in general is always going to be prohibited on Shabbos? Misa Shulchan Kaved im leka tircha. If you carry a heavy table, do you think that there's no tircha? He says, no, the whole problem with respect to the Otzer case, with the Mefaninus, the Kupos of Tevin from the Otzer, is the Apagav Leislan Mukzah, even though we don't have Mukzah, we call Makam HaMuvdo Lumizev, Ein La'askam Adava Muvdo Kishiyesh Tiocha. That we should, that you're not, it's not a problem just moving tables or chairs around. If I happen to have tables and chairs around in my house and I want to move them to the dining room, the problem is if something is in an Otzer, even if it's not actually Mukzah, so we consider that to be more off limits in terms of the definition of uvdin dechol. If we're going to exert tircha to take things away from a storage house or a storage room when we didn't begin that exercise before Shabbos, if we did begin that exercise before Shabbos, so then we have the distinction that that if you began before Shabbos. Then it's considered as if you've already, it's not so off limits that we would define the tircha as an uvdin dechol for purposes of prohibiting it on a Shabbos. So the major problem halacha lemaisa is if you're maskilin ba'otzer, if you're going to begin the process of taking from a storage facility beforehand. Even then, we would permit you to take objects from the storage area of your home if it's necessary in order to perform a mitzvah. And then the discussion is, what is a mitzvah? So a mitzvah is hachnasas ochem, because gedol hachnasas ochem me'akvalos p'nei shechina, as we know. So that is considered to be a mitzvah. There's just a little bit of a discussion in the Mishnah Berurah about what's really considered to be ochem. Ochem, he explains, means that if you have a guest who's staying with you for Shabbos, or if you have a guest that's staying with somebody else for Shabbos, but he's a guest in the area, but if you're just inviting your friends, a stamazoi, so then that's not considered to be a mitzvah of Achnasis Orchim for this purpose, which is just interesting to know in general, how we define Achnasis Orchim for Shabbos. So he says, you invite over your next door neighbors who have their own food and their own home. That's not considered to be a fulfillment of this mitzvah of Achnasis Orchim. But if you invite a Talmid Chacham, in order to hear his wonderful, splendid Divrei Torah, so you're inviting somebody from Yeshiva University, even though he lives in the area, because you want him to share the wonderful Divrei Torah that he learned in Yeshiva during the week. So that for sure is a mitzvah, and you can take a share from the Yotzer for him, I guess. Okay.